1-800-449-8686. The strike in Los Angeles over the Metropolitan Transportation Authority's workers walking out is affecting an awful lot of people who need to take the bus and need to take the light rail. And of course, we're just seeing where we have oil prices going through the roof, so that I'm sure also contributes to the rise in the cost of transporting people, and then puts pressure on the labor force. We have a young man on the phone from Los Angeles named Brass Villanueva, who is with a group called Transportation Now. And you have a point of view that is particularly unique to yourself and to the Hispanic community?
No, it's not to the Hispanic community. It's more to what we call a Chicano community. Okay, so...
All right, the Chicano community. Why?
Because primarily this strike is causing Latino or Chicano workers more hardship than any other people. And I believe that I can be the voice of this new generation.
Now, in Transportation Now and some of the literature that I've seen, Mr. Villanueva, you call yourself, well, you don't call yourself, but you cite Cesar Chavez and Che Guevara as your spiritual forebears almost?
Right. I have always felt that I was destined for great things. I believe that I can be the voice of a new generation of Latino bus riders. I see my chance to have people see me as someone that can influence them. I'm speaking for so many Latino bus and rail riders when I say that we need to start a rapid transit system strictly for Chicano or Hispanic vis-a-vis Mexican-American riders, because we are tired of being manipulated.
Why do you cite Che Guevara and Cesar Chavez?
Because I feel it's time for Brass Villanueva. It's time to rise up and take back the streets. It's time for me to marshal my people. I have seen the Chicano people, the Latin American people, the Hispanic people abused by this bus strike. And I saw a movie not too long ago about Cesar Chavez, and he was the head of the United Farm Workers. And he got all those people to go up against the big growers and everything. He got a United Farm Workers Union. I've seen a movie one time about Che Guevara, and he helped free the people of Cuba, and he helped free the people of South America. And so I said to myself, the Brass Villanueva, I can do that for my people too. And
all right, so you want to be a leader of your people. You want to be a leader of the Hispanic community? Is that it with relation to this?
Well, I looked around for a cause that I felt that I could marshal the forces of the Chicano people, and I realized it's this bus strike. Because Che Guevara, he had the war, and Cesar Chavez, he had the grapes. I've got the bus strike, and now it's time for me. The Anglo feels the hot breath, I think, of the Chicano on his neck, okay? So I want to unionize all the Chicano people and to begin to bust this strike that has hurt us, our people so much, you know?
I guess you don't have any figures as to how many Latin American people or how many Mexican American or how many Chicano people or whatever you want to call them ride the bus, do you?
I don't have those figures right now, but I know it's mostly Mexicans that ride the bus.
But you don't have any figures as to how many?
No, I do not. I know it's a lot of Mexicans, though.
And what are they? Mostly what? What kind of professions are we talking?
They're, you know, house cleaners and also working at Taco Bell and places like that, and I don't know. Okay, I don't have that information on me. It's tough for me to organize myself because the Anglo press, you know, edits all the information and they censor all the information.
Okay, well, Mr. Villanueva, I'm just asking about cold, hard facts. How many people in the so-called Chicano community, whatever you want to call it, the Mexican-American and the Latin-American community in L.A., how many of them ride the bus? Okay?
I do not know that.
Why not?
Because the Anglo press has censored the information so that I can't have it, because they know that a strong young Latin male who rises up out of the Latin American community, the Chicano community, is going to marshal the forces of the people. Okay?
And they don't want you to have this information. Why? You're saying because what?
Because I will unionize the Chicano bus riders. I will unionize the Chicano light rail riders. I will unionize the people who are using mass transit in Southern California. And what I will do is that I will create a new mass transit system only for Mexicans. And what I'm...
Well, you're going to unionize what, okay? Yeah, look, I know that you're looking up to Cesar Chavez and Che Guevara and all these other leaders, okay?
But what you don't understand, Mr. Henry, is Cesar Chavez started a union, okay?
Right.
And that's what I want to do. I want to unionize all the rail riders and...
But how are you going to build a mass transit system strictly for Latin American or Chicano American or Hispanic American or whoever? How are you going to do that?
By charging dues and these people will pay their dues, and then I will then take a look at what needs to be done in order for them to ride the rails, okay? I will have a free transit system when all Chicanos can be free to ride or not ride, and I'll decide how to implement that.
And why you? This, we get back to this question, because
I don't see anybody else rising up and taking over in the Latin community. I don't see anybody else. I see a lot of Mexicans walking to work these days, okay? I see all kinds of my friends are hitchhiking. I work part-time down in the financial district in L.A. I've got to hitchhike in a suit. Okay, that is embarrassing when you have to hitchhike where you're going. And I got a brand-new suit that I got over at that men's warehouse.
So you're hitchhiking in your suit from Men's Warehouse.
That's right, and you get sweaty, and you look bad, all right? So that's bumming me out. There's a lot of things that are totally not right. And what I want to do is unionize all the Latin American people.
Well, let's talk about, instead of Latin American people, let's talk about all working people who need the bus. Why not unionize all of them?
Mr. Henry, right now I'm primarily here for my people. I understand there are the Anglo and there are black riders, but I'm here for the Latin American people. I can't start to get my name going. I can't start to get my legacy going. And I can't start to even be thought of in the same breath as Che Guevara or Cesar Chavez until I get something going, okay? So that's why I have to, and the only way I'm going to do that, okay, is in the Latin American community, all right? And so that's why I say what I got to do is get them, everybody paying me dues, and then we got that Latin American bus thing going on, and, you know, I feel so frustrated.
Look, I got to tell you something, okay?
Right.
Okay, you sound extremely confused, like you don't know.
Because the Anglo press is keeping the information away from me, all right?
Okay, even if the Anglo press is keeping the information away from you, it sounds to me like you're really confused and frustrated and talking really fast, and you need to just slow it down, and you need to, I understand this bus strike is affecting people, but you want to start a Latin American transit system only for what you call Chicano riders.
That's right.
You really do?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, and so what, if I wanted to get on that bus, I wouldn't be allowed on?
You would respectfully be turned away, that's right. You can go ride on a white bus or something. There are more Latin American people who need that than there are Anglo people, all right? That's my idea. See, everybody has a good idea. Che Guevara, his idea was one thing, or Cesar Chavez, his idea is another thing. My idea is to only have Latin American people riding on the bus, and that's going to solidify me as a leader in the Hispanic community and the Latin American community, of which I so desperately wish to be a part of. And
why do you want to be famous, man? I mean, why?
Because I read up all about Che. I read up all about Cesar, and, you know, I'm just as smart, and my people need me right now, and there's nobody else doing it, okay?
You may well be right that your people need you right now, and you may well be right that you need a Latin American transit system that only, Latin Americans get to ride on. But I don't know whether or not you're the guy, okay?
And no, that's all right. That's okay. I like it when people put me down because that makes me want to work harder. I like it when you don't believe in me because that makes me want to believe in myself more, okay?
And you really think you're the next Che Guevara, Cesar Chavez, or whoever else, huh?
I think I can be if the Chicano people put all they have to do, and I'm speaking now to all the Chicano people, all you have to do is reach out now and put your trust in me, all right? And you put your trust in Brass Silmanueva. I have ideas. I got a lot of good ideas that I've written down. I got scraps of paper here. I got a few that I've got up on the wall right now. Let me get... Okay, check it out.
Hold on for a minute, man. Is that where you keep your notes on the...
I got them on refrigerator magnets right now. But
All right, hold the line here, Che. Okay, so this kid is Brass Villanueva. He's the next Cesar Chavez, in case you didn't know it. 1-800-449-8686. He wants to start a purely Latin American transit system. The only people that ride on the buses or the light rail are Hispanic people because they need it, they ride on it, and he's going to make it happen if you pay dues, and he'll build it. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Now, Brass Villanueva is a young man, 19 years of age. He's from Los Angeles and is with a group called Transportation Now. This is your group. How many people are in your organization?
We have a steering committee, Mr. Henry, of approximately 7 members from Southern California colleges and high schools. We are young people, but we do believe that there is some leadership needed in the Hispanic community.
And you're the guy.
Yes, I do believe that I can lead my people. My people need leading. And the first thing we need is to get that bus strike rolling so we don't have to hitchhike. We got more Chicanos hitchhiking today than any other time in history. And I am calling out to Chicano people. I will be the one to lead you, and we'll get it together with a new transit system.
So that they won't have to hitchhike.
That's right.
All right, here is Long Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. Phil, I just want to congratulate you. And a wonderful show that you put on, because it's very entertaining. I laugh all the time every time I turn it on. But it's things like this that I have to make a comment on, because I'm Latin. And first of all, Villanueva is pronounced wrong. He pronounces it wrong. I don't know.
Well, you know,
I would be embarrassed.
I
would be embarrassed
to
have this gentleman represent me in any way, shape, or form.
Well, we need some leadership, you know. And
I'm sorry?
We need leadership, all right?
And yeah, your cause, you're not Rosa Parks, dear. And, you know, Rosa Parks had a legitimate reason for being on that freaking bus.
But we don't have any transportation. Like,
you
the houses that you clean.
Well, a lot of people that don't have cars, and they don't have transportation.
What houses are you cleaning? Do you do domestic work or whatever?
I don't do domestic work, but that would not keep me from doing domestic work.
But yeah,
and it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the fact that
you got all these
kinds
of people
need transportation. It isn't just about Chicanos.
I'm the one who will lead our people if you don't have the courage, okay? And this is what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry. You got these people, Chicanos, like
listen,
this.
My
she
dear,
does not. She does not have no courage, okay?
You can't compare yourself to Che Guevara.
Okay, well, how do you know? When Che started out, people didn't believe in him either. And
talk to me about Che Guevara. He's just as much of an asshole as you are.
Yeah, that's your dirty mouth, okay?
That's my dirty
mouth.
Somebody
with a dirty mouth cannot lead our people. I'm the future of La Raza, okay? Not you. You're yesterday's news.
All right, thank you for your call, man. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Diamond Bar, the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was just listening to Mr. Villanueva. I am a Villanueva also, and I am from East L.A., and I'm proud of who I am, and I don't think that we should be uniting for transportation. I think there's more important issues.
Well, who we got to lead us, okay? All I'm saying is the time is now for me, because when I was born, I knew that I was going to be a leader. I got to start leading somebody.
Yes, buddy, but there's more important issues.
Okay,
I've got two girls. I need to get into university.
How are they going to get there without a bus? How are they going to get there without a bus token?
Hopefully,
they're
going to be educated enough to have a car.
Yeah, and if they're not, Abraham Lincoln.
Other important issues, going into the university, getting scholarships.
Abraham Lincoln had to chop wood, okay?
And Abraham Lincoln, by the way, was not Hispanic. Don't you want to...
Well, I don't know that much about 19th century Chicano people, okay? Because the Anglo doesn't want me to learn my history. So all I got is Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson. See what I'm saying? See, you understand what I'm saying, see?
Have you been to a college at least?
The Anglos do not want me to go to college, so
no,
I have to leave my people
Anglos,
from the jungle.
I live in a very nice neighborhood, and
I
have
to go up
into
the jungle.
There's a lot of Anglos here, and I'm not going
to
let them keep me back because I'm Hispanic and they're Anglos.
No, you know what? I got to go up into the jungle and lead my people because they don't want me in college. So I'm going
to
go out into the woods
gather. I went to college. I went to Garfield. It's right in East L.A.
High school.
All the minorities live, and all the... You know,
what do you mean? I want to ask this kid something. What
and
do you mean?
I made it.
What do you?
What,
I want to ask the kid a question. What do you mean that you're going up into the jungle?
Because the Anglo doesn't want me to do anything, so I got to go live up in the forest. I have to live in the forest and eat nuts and bananas or whatever. Because
that's your choice. You've made it your choice.
How else are we going to get the bus strike cured unless we're living in the forest?
Right. That's right. Okay, so I hope I can educate this sister and everybody else out there,
And you know, you sound black, man. You don't sound.
My girls are listening to him because, mom, he sounds black. He doesn't even sound Hispanic.
I grew up around a lot of black people, okay? I grew up around a lot of Anglos, okay?
You don't even say your last name right, our last name.
Because
I'm Villanueva. Villanueva, not Villanueva, whatever
you're
saying.
You know why? Because my roots and my history was just ripped to shreds by the Anglo. I don't even know. I barely know where Mexico is. That's how bad it is for my people.
Well, go visit it once in a while and have pride. I've been to Mexico on my own time.
I want
to
have pride.
I just went to Cancun and visited the pyramids, and I educated myself. I'm not going to let the Anglos keep me back or anyone else for that matter.
What I got to get is a map and get down there, because I don't even know where to go, because the Anglo don't want me to visit no pyramids, right?
You hide behind excuses.
Man, you got a lot of... Mexico is directly south from L.A.
I can't go to Mexico without a bus. Okay, we got a bus strike, don't we? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay, look at pal. Thank you. Thank you for your call, ma'am. What are you talking about, man?
Mr. Henry, I'm saying this with all due respect because I know you're Anglo, all right? That the Anglo ripped me away from the roots, my roots as a Hispanic man, a Chicano. I am leading my people. I'm leading La Raza to a new time and a new place where we can ride a bus and get to ball games and stuff, and I don't have to hitchhike in a suit. I want to go to Mexico as bad as the next man. But when you don't know where it is, and the other thing, Spain, I ought to go there because that's where our mother language is. I know nothing of our language. I got to go to Spain, right? When's the last time you think I'm going to go to Spain, right? And that's another thing.
Where is Spain?
I know it's over an ocean.
And is it in Europe or in Asia?
That's the thing I don't know. Because
you must be dumber than most people who, any person, okay?
See, your put-downs as an Anglo.
No, I'm not trying to put you down, man, but everybody knows that Spain is in Europe. Even the dumbest guy out there, the dumbest Hispanic guy out there knows it's in Europe.
Not because my roots have been ripped away from me by the Anglo.
All right, Wichita on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, this guy, I'm not real sure what he's talking about.
Are
Seems like he's wanting to get rid of a...
Are you Chicano?
No, actually, I'm an American-American.
Okay, then
I'm actually an Anglo, as you call it. I think that's disrespectful.
You're supposed to turn your radio down, too, when you call up on a talk show. Yeah, yeah. You don't know that, do you?
Okay, well,
looks like
at least
I got more information
Spain
than you, man. I got more information than you, man. But I would say to you that being a Chicano means being able to get this bus strike settled and getting some seats at a Dodger game.
Well, I would say if you can afford a new suit, you shouldn't be hitchhiking. You ought to be buying a car.
Get yourself a car.
The suit is the price of one car payment.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. So what we're going to say here is you have an agenda where you want to settle the bus strike by unionizing all Chicano bus riders.
That's correct.
And you want to be some kind of a Che Guevara?
Yeah, I do.
You want to be a leader of your generation?
I do want to be a leader of my generation. I do have the intelligence. I do have the strength. I know that lady laughed at me, but they laughed at Cesar Chavez. They laughed at Che Guevara. They laughed at Fidel Castro. All them, man. They laughed at Pancho Villa, everybody. And so I know I can get it done. I know that all I got to do is have the people pay their dues directly to me. If I could give out a phone number, Mr. Henry.
And what is this phone number for?
I'm sorry?
What is the phone number for?
Where they can send their dues monies to me so I can build new buses.
For Mexicans?
Right.
Go ahead.
All right, that number is 213-251-3189. I can build...
And you get enough dues money, you'll be building buses for Mexicans.
Right. 213-251-3189. If you can do that, you can help out and get some more buses built for Mexicans.
Great. All right, well, good luck to you, pal. And, we'll be looking for you in the history books.
Right. Viva la raza. Viva la...
Good for him. Okay, our number here, 1-800-449-8686. So there goes Pancho Villa, man. And don't forget about our Saturday, November the 4th, Casino Night. Casino Night 2000, Saturday, November 4th, begins at 7 p.m. I want to single out a guy. I wish I had his name here. And I don't. But I'll mention some people's names a little bit later on in the program. Oh, Peter Morgan and some friends have donated $20,000 worth of paint and labor to paint the new center for my friend's place in Hollywood, and that's what Casino Night 2000 will be there to benefit. And we'll give you more information on that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. And we want to get on with us right now from Fat Pride, Roland Schwinn. Fat Pride is an organization of overweight people, or enthusiastic eaters, as they like to call themselves. And an organization started back about 10 years ago by Mr. Schwinn, because he believed that too many people who were overweight, or as you call them, Roland, enthusiastic, were being put down for it.
That is correct, Phil. We are really an organization of some 20,000 across the United States who are simply tired of being told how to eat and how to enjoy a meal. And that is the impetus behind the foundation of our organization. And again, I also wanted to wish you a happy birthday, because I know you had a meeting the last couple of weeks.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. Tell me what you were saying to the press today about Roseanne Barr and her pictorial and interview in Gear magazine. She was quoted as saying, "Fat people should be put in concentration camps and gassed if they can't change."
Right. Well, this is nothing unusual from Roseanne. She, every few years, wants to say something that's very controversial. But she's a self-hating fat person. She is a self-hating, enthusiastic eater. She thinks she looks good since she lost the weight. And I don't know who the first person is to tell her the truth, which is that she does not. She still looks as fat as ever. And we will do and continue to do what we've always done, and that is encourage people to be enthusiastic eaters and not be afraid of... You know something, Phil? I got a bag of candy earlier. My wife was...
Are you eating right now?
Yeah, I'll put it away here. I found a bag of candy that my wife had hid for the trick-or-treaters, so please forgive me.
I'm sorry?
Please forgive me.
Yeah, that's fine if you could hold off eating while we're doing the interview. All right, you are going to, because of this interview with Roseanne, you're stepping up your Halloween campaign?
Phil, we are stepping up our Halloween campaign. We have four steps for young people who are fat and proud. And they are, wear a costume that is easy to alter so you can make a quick change, and then walk back up to the front door of the house where you just made a haul.
Now, this is to encourage kids to get more Halloween candy, correct?
Correct.
All because Roseanne Barr said fat people ought to be gassed.
Absolutely right. If she wants to play in the big league, she wants to play in the Super Bowl, then she better bring a pretty big ball. And we are not only repudiating what she said, but we are very enthusiastically getting out the free ships for Halloween candy. And I've got some caramel stuff for Halloween candy. And
well, if you're going to eat caramel in the middle of an interview, man, you know...
I understand that.
Okay, so the first step is kids should wear a costume that's easy to alter so they can make a quick change and then walk back up to the front door of a house where you just made a haul.
That is correct, and that is a time-worn and time-proven. Also, number two, motorized scooters get you to the most amount of houses in the shortest amount of time. And, Phil, this is so very true. You see the go-peds. And for young people to use the GoPed during Halloween, I think is revolutionary. You can get from house to house to house in much more quicker time.
And can I just jump in here and ask you how you feel about encouraging kids to eat more candy simply because you got a problem with Roseanne Barr and her losing weight?
No, I do not. We encourage children to enjoy food, and Halloween is a great time for children. We encourage them to enjoy candy. I will show how Roseanne Barr loses.
Will you please swallow?
Hmm?
Please swallow what you got in your mouth.
I don't care how much weight Roseanne Barr loses. We encourage children to enjoy Halloween this time of year.
And yeah, well, you've got this four stuff. Okay, number two is motorized scooters get you to the most amount of houses in the shortest amount of time. What is number three, then?
Number three is stand on the front porch of the house that you've just visited until you get the amount of, or type of candy that you want. Halloween comes once a year. This is your time to strike. What we tell young people is you make adults nervous if you continue to stand there with your bag open, after they've put in the Rice Krispies ball, or after they've put in the peanut butter cookie, or whatever it is, keep ringing the bell until they give you what you want and desire. If they close the door, ring the bell again.
So you're encouraging kids to harass people?
No, I'm encouraging children to get that little extra added piece of candy. Number four, Have unloading stations set up. This is very important, where you dump your bag into a locked suitcase.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you here right now, okay? You are encouraging kids to go house to house to eat a whole bunch of candy because Roseanne Barr said fat people ought to be gassed. Isn't that right?
We would be doing this anyway, Phil.
And but you wouldn't be starting it now in late September, would you?
The fact of the matter is she did upset me a little bit.
Okay, so she upset you a little bit. So you got the kids now in the late part of September, making sure they got unloading stations and making sure that they get up to the house and get as much candy as they possibly can because she thinks fat people ought to be put into concentration camps and gassed.
Well, I find it very unusual that Roseanne Barr has said that fat people should be gassed only after she lost her weight. You know, if we could make this retroactive, then maybe I'd be with her on this. If we could go back about 6 months and gas Roseanne Barr. And
well, maybe she is self-hating. I don't know. But that's the reason why you're encouraging kids to eat more candy. Having an unloading station set up where you dump your bag into a locked suitcase and then you start out with a fresh, empty bag.
That is correct. These are ways in which children can enjoy Halloween and enjoy it without feeling guilty because Roseanne Barr doesn't like being fat. And Roseanne Barr thinks she looks good in Gear magazine. She still looks like a tub of guts to me. And the magazine, as far as I'm concerned, has manipulated her badly. And, you know, I can tell you, Roseanne, if you really think you're skinny, you know.
Swallow your caramel.
If you really think you're skinny, you're not.
All right. There's the four steps. Good luck to Fat Pride, okay?
Well, we'll do everything that we can.
Yeah, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. That's Roland Schwinn from Fat Pride with his four steps to getting kids to get more candy. The only reason why they're doing this is because the Fat Pride has been upset with this comment made by Roseanne Barr in Gear magazine that fat people should be put in concentration camps. Fat Pride has always said they have every right in the world to eat as much as they want. And now, in late September, they're telling kids to wear 2, 3, 4 different costumes so you can hit the same house 3 or 4 times. Man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know whether my wife has purchased any Halloween candy early on, but if I find bags of that stuff, I'll tear into it, and it'll be gone, and I'll feel good about it. Actually, we get 2 bottles of chocolate milk from the dairy, Altadena Dairy, and which, by the way, I endorse. And if I were you, I'd get Altadena Dairy milk. It's fantastic. Not that you have to buy what I buy, but anyway, we get these 2 bottles of chocolate milk, and before the kids can get to it, I generally open them up and start drinking out of them. Man, you ought to see chocolate milk around my house. First of all, we got 4 kids who have a clinical addiction to sugar. They have a clinical addiction to sugar, not unlike the worst junkie, the worst smack freak, smack mule you've ever met in your life. We got kids in our house who go through serious temper tantrum withdrawals if they don't get their sugar. And so, you know, it's really interesting. I can do experiments with them. No, you can't have any sugar. What? No, you may not have dessert. What are you talking about? And they go through all kinds of changes, and it's really kind of, it's sadistic, yes, but I enjoy it. And I tell them, no, you can't have any chocolate milk. I'm having it. I'm having all of the chocolate milk, and you can't have any. And they get so nuts about this stuff that they'll drink the last. Isn't it sort of a normal thing? And they're great kids. Ordinarily, they have wonderful manners. But fact of the matter is, they don't see anything about taking the last glass of chocolate milk out of that bottle. They'll drink it down. They'll just like, you know, they're in the desert, and it's the last gulp of water. It's mine, you see? Mine! And they suck that stuff down. By the way, we're debuting in Richmond, right? Swell. And, oh, I did an interview today on a radio station. I won't say which one. And the afternoon drive host interviewed me on that radio station in that town. And I got to stop doing those because I think it's very uncomfortable for the people. Whenever we start our show in a new city, generally the program director is going to say to somebody on the staff, why don't you interview this guy? Will you go on the air with us, Phil, and one of our hosts will interview you to tell us what the Phil Henry Show is all about. And I said to this most recent PD, I said, well, why don't you let my show air for a day there, and people can kind of get a feel for it, and then the guy can interview me. Well, the guy conducted an interview with me this afternoon. It lasted about a minute. He sounded nervous. He sounded ill-prepared. He sounded like he didn't want to talk to me. And I can't imagine it was any fun for him. It sure wasn't any fun for me. And it lasted about 30 seconds, then off we went, you know. Same thing happened in Chicago. The guy there, he interviewed me for about 15 seconds, and, you know, we both sounded like complete and utter idiots. Hi, how you doing? Real good. What's your show about? Oh, it's, you know, we do funny. Okay, bye, thanks. Why even do it? I think I'm going to stop. Not because I don't want to, but because I think it's uncomfortable for these guys that, you know, the PD says, interview this guy Henry, and what do they know from me? And they don't care. And you know what? Quite frankly, I'm a threat to them. I am. Well, I'm not a direct threat, but why isn't somebody interviewing them? You know, why isn't someone interviewing them and asking about their show and asking how wonderful they are? But nobody's doing that. They're doing it with me. And I get on there and I try to be as nice as I can. The guy, and then one, he said to me, and Phil, tell us about the TV show you've got. I don't have a TV show. Well, that's what I heard. Well, you're getting the wrong information. I have no TV show. Okay. Well, anyway, okay, bye. That's what it went. It was, how you doing, Phil? Real good. Tell us what you got on tap for tonight. I said, I don't know what I got on tap for tonight. Crap. That's what I got on tap for tonight. Okay, and, you really debuted here last night. It was really fantastic. I really will tell you. And I was thinking maybe the guy will tell me a little bit about what he heard last night that was so fantastic. No, he didn't go there. And then he said, tell us about the TV show. And I said, I ain't got one. And he said, well, okay, I heard different. Yeah, I guess you did. And how's the weather out there? By gum, it's a little bit hotter than it was last year. Well, how about that? Somebody turn the crapper up right in the road out there and plow the North 40? You bet. Okay, thanks. Bye. And that was it. So, anyway, getting back to my drug-addicted kids, these guys with that chocolate milk, so we got two big, gorgeous bottles of that crap sitting in the icebox, and I think I'll just go strolling through the kitchen one night, swilling out of it, while those guys are sitting there having to eat all their peas and eat their meatloaf. God, are they nuts. It's not a carton, it's a bottle. And they're just goofy for this stuff. And when Halloween rolls around, man, forget about it. Easter, Halloween, Maria keeps a bowl of candy. Do you guys do this? You got a bowl of candy anywhere? Do you have a bowl of candy that you access? She's got a bowl of candy. She's got a bowl of those tinfoil-covered chocolate eggs from Easter still. And then she has those little Hershey Kisses. And then she's got a bowl of some other stuff that's in there. So there are days when I just, you know, put that thing in front of me between my legs while I'm watching TV, and I just scarf that crap down. The kids, we don't let them do that. So naturally, when they get into the sugar, they turn into wild freaking apes. Oh, you got those red vines? Craig keeps the red vines laying around. And man, I've never seen anything like it. So I can manipulate their drug habit and their and the sugar intake and that cereal and the Frosted Flakes and the honey roasted Cheerios and the, oh man, those Pebbles. You know, those little fruity pebbles and that, not just Captain Crunch, peanut butter Captain Crunch, just every kind of tooth-rotten sugar there is. They got it. And there's Chris reading the back of that box, and man, he pours himself six bowls of this crap. Sugar Smacks, Honey Bear, Honey Smack, Sugar Bear, Cocoa Puffs. Might as well just be called Smack there. Here's our new cereal, Smack. Honey-flavored Smack. Man, that's just... You know what they're going to be doing with cereal like 30 years from now? You'll just be shooting it right into your vein. In other words, it's not heroin, it's not morphine, but Cocoa Pebbles will be shot right directly into your freaking ankle. Cocoa Pebbles and all of that stuff. And, or between your toes when it gets real rough. Hey, Phil, want to help me find a vein? Not at all, kids. Now, the 98-99 Navigator, I don't know if you heard, there is a recall for the tires. The 96 Ford Ranger, there's also... So this Firestone tire recall is beginning to expand and spread and generally make its presence known all across the country. And I think it's a lot of paranoia. People are going, oh my God, what about my tires? So any car that was produced with a Firestone tire on it, they're basically having it recalled. Now, I have a 96 Ranger truck, which I don't really drive anywhere, but I got it kind of hanging out in the back pasture there, you know, in case I have to haul some hay into the barn or something. I got this Ford, and it has Firestone tires. And Maria's been bugging me about getting it in and having the tires either looked at or replaced or whatever. Most of the tires are okay. But because they're Firestone tires, people have been literally going outside and looking at the tires going, oh my God, they're Firestone. Get it in, get it looked at. Somebody, somewhere, somehow, get this truck. I got Firestone tires. And it's interesting how I'm concerned about this, because back when you guys who had Ford Explorers, when you were dying, I didn't care. But now, by God, I want something done. See, back when the Firestone tire recall was going on, and it was only the Ford Explorer, and you see a lot of the, and they were like squished down to accordion size because of tire problems, whatever they may be, or maybe it was an automotive problem, I don't know, Firestone and Ford going back and forth, pointing fingers at each other. And that cat that they interviewed from Bridgestone, that Japanese businessman, I mean, you know, just all varieties of people and all different countries involved in this thing. When that was going on, it was just the Ford Explorer, and I thought, well, okay, they had a problem. Well, now they're recalling all kinds of cars and looking at all kinds of tires. Well, back when all you guys had Ford Explorers, and you were driving them into bridge abutments, and you were driving them into irrigation canals, and you were driving them smack dab into the exploding gas tank of a Pinto, I didn't care, but now I do. And what's beautiful is on my Ford Ranger, which has Firestone tires, my wife Maria traveled all the way to Sacramento and back in that truck, sailing along at about 75, 80 miles an hour, because I know how my wife drives, and she could have been killed. I said that to her last night. We giggled over the fact while we were reading the newspaper in bed. You could have died. I know. Ah! Firestone tires on the truck. Well, let's take it back in. Hey, big solution. What? Bridgestone, or not Bridgestone, Goodyear. How about that? Okay, let's just get the hell off that Firestone and that and whatever else they got, and let's put some Goodyears on that thing or some Michelins on that thing or whatever the hell else they got. Or Pirelli, or... You got Pirelli? Is it the only part of your car that really looks good? Is the Pirelli tires? The rest of the car looks like rolling crap. It's like Mike's car. I'm kidding, Mike. Anyway, well, I do want to thank Peter Morgan. Peter Morgan and his friends donated $20,000 worth of paint and labor to my friend's place in Hollywood. And this is to the Resource Center. Near Hollywood Boulevard. And I'll tell you something. My friend's place is in Hollywood at a time when there is a redevelopment, a refurbishment, a new civic pride being poured into Hollywood. They're renovating the street. Hollywood Boulevard, I think, is going to become pedestrian-friendly and no cars allowed, and there's going to be a new theater where the Academy Awards will be held. And basically, Hollywood Boulevard and Hollywood in general is going to be tourist-friendly, and they really don't want to know about street people or kids that are living on the street. And so it's a very difficult time for my friend's place to raise money, because whether they want to believe the problem exists, it does. So thanks to guys like Peter Morgan donating $20,000 worth of paint and labor to my friend's place in Hollywood, you know, we raise money. And I'm going to raise it with the sale of our Year 2000 number one rated Phil Hendry Show CD, which will be coming up very, very shortly. And don't forget about our casino night. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger is going to be coming back in a moment to talk about Melissa Etheridge and Julie Cypher.